Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, welcome back to Soul Sisters. I'm Jesse Katz.
I'm Dara Golub.
And we have a very inspirational guest on the show today that we're very excited to share with you. Just a quick note. We are recording this a few days after we found out that Dolores O'Riordan of the Cranberries passed away. And as some of you might remember, she was a guest on the show last year and was one of our proudest episodes mm-hmm. that we've recorded. We both, of course, were such fans of hers. And I remember it feeling very intense and humbling to have her in our tiny little studio where yeah. we record.
It was before we did video, so it was really just the three of us like in a circle.
Yeah.
Like no right. table, just super intimate.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we barely had furniture.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, I was super nervous to have her in here.
Super nervous.
And there was just so much preparation to make sure that we talked about all the points that we wanted to of her life and her career and on this gorgeous new album that the Cranberries were putting out last year. And we had a very intense conversation with her. She didn't feel like someone who was very natural about opening up to strangers, I would say, but she was willing to do it, and she was willing to answer very honestly any question that we asked her, and ended up going even a little further than that and sharing some very personal reflections on her mental health and on grieving and the death of her father.
Right. We went to places that I think probably are they're definitely hard and probably not talked about often mm-hmm. in that setting. And it was, I was pleased that we did it. You really pushed that forward, and it was hard and maybe cathartic in a way, or just,
yeah.
It was
I remember
really
being
good.
Cathartic for me because my grandfather had passed away not long before, and I was able to talk about some of those feelings mm-hmm. with her. Anyway, so we just couldn't be more sad to have lost her and are very grateful that we got to have that time with her. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on to brighter topics. So the artist on the show today, she goes by Milk. Her name is Connie Lim. And I actually saw her without realizing who she was at the Women's March last year. She was the artist who organized a group of women who were going around D.C. that day singing a beautiful song that she had written called Quiet. And later got signed to Atlantic and re-recorded that song and has a new EP out. And she stopped by to tell us how that all came about. And I love her because she's an artist who is totally confronting our political climate head on and is someone who was already grappling with a lot of things that are sadly only becoming more relevant and talked about right now. Not sadly, it's good that we're talking about it. But her art and the political moment that we're facing have just aligned perfectly. And she's a great soldier in the cause.
Absolutely. There's no pretense or there's no wall between her social activism and her music and her artistry. They are one for her. And that's inspiring. Many of the artists we talk to have that side, but she
to
is
some degree.
Right to some degree or another.
Yeah.
And it's refreshing to have someone who is just so purely in it for change.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so here you go. Today's episode of Soul Sisters with Milk. Milk, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, we're so excited to have you.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
I saw you at the Women's March last year, not knowing who you were, but I was like waiting to meet up with my other coworkers who are covering the march for Billboard, and saw you guys singing, and I was like, oh, this is so cool.
No way.
And then that video went viral, and I was like, I saw them.
You were there? Yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was so cool because you guys were so unassuming. You were just in the crowd.
Well, I wonder how many.
And all of a sudden I heard you and saw you, and I was like, what the hell is this? Yeah. This is amazing.
Well, I wonder how many, because you did it like 7 times, right? Yeah. So, like, that is wild that you did see it, but like, you were in different pockets in different times.
Yeah.
A lot of people saw it, but that is still amazing.
Dara's trying to take away my...
Not at all, not at all.
Yeah, cool, no, but not really.
So cool, a million people saw them, Jesse. Get over yourself.
No.
Dara's bitter because... Totally, no, wait, you were there.
What I was struck by is your surprise, but I guess, of course, you're surprised because there were... how many hundreds of thousands of people?
I think there were, may have been a million. Some people say 700,000. I don't know.
It's amazing that you, that you caught it.
That's crazy. Yeah, because we basically met at the McDonald's. This is not an endorsement.
I told Dara that's we were waiting outside the McDonald's and we were taking shifts like going in and getting food and waiting for the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, spent a lot of time outside the McDonald's.
Yeah, so maybe that's where it was. But we met there at 8 a.m. Uh-huh. And then we were just going to flash mob all the way to the stage so we could go watch the stage performances.
Did you actually get up to the stage?
I had sprained my ankle, so I had a wheelchair, and when we sang, I would stand, and then I got wheeled. So I was in the wheelchair section, so I actually got a good view of the whole
thing.
I
was watching people who had that wheelchair access. I was like, damn.
Did you really?
I wish I was friends
ankle?
With one of them. So I didn't see anything.
I just constantly pretend I sprained my ankle.
Get that easy access. Were you an official part of the march, like with the march organizers? Did they know this was happening and allowed you like certain space and access and stuff like that? Or was it all you?
Definitely not on your own.
Definitely not.
I actually applied. I applied to be on stage because after I recruited the 25 girls from DC, I was like, okay, well, thanks for committing this time. And I was trying to like, yeah, this is going to be cool because I'm going to try to guess on stage. I'll email them and see. And my friend Krista Sa had she started the Pussy Hat Project,
right?
And I was like, maybe Krista can help, you know.
That's like high level march like
connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was watching her movement go viral, and it was so crazy to watch like hundreds and thousands of women just knitting hats and sending them into a specific location.
I was so out of it. I didn't know about the Pussy Hat idea until I was at a rest stop on my way to DC from New York, and everyone was wearing them.
Right.
And I turned to my friends and I was like, how come everyone's wearing the same hat? My friends were like, yeah, it's the Pussy Hat. Like, you could have made yourself one. And I was like, I didn't know about this.
Also, yeah. I could not have made myself one.
I could
one.
Not, yeah. Also, well, I don't knit. No.
She made it super easy so beginner knitters could do it. It's like literally just a square, you know? But when you put it on the head, the little angles pop out naturally. But anyway, so, so Krista, she's actually in New York right now. We're doing some events together because this is so weird. The universe is crazy, but she's releasing her book this week, and I'm releasing my EP this week. So we're supporting each other. We've always been this way with each other. But anyway, so I was thinking maybe we'll get on the stage.
Yeah.
But we never got a response. So then I composed a second email. I was like, it's going to be great anyway, even if we're not on stage, because we'll be on the streets, and that's more renegade anyway. And
it's true.
And so, yeah, so we were just kind of freelancing. And when Alma Harrell, the videographer that captured the one that went viral, so the video started going viral. Like it was. Like,
did you hire her, or was that just a coincidence? She just was there, and she was people were filming, of course.
Yeah, I was trying to get to the stage because Krista, my friend, Pussy Hat friend, Pussy Hat friend,
good luck.
Was at the side of the stage. She's like, come, the Atlantic is reporting a story on me. Come sing for us. Maybe they'll get coverage of you. I was like, cool. We couldn't get there. And then Alma was lost. She has friends that organized the march, Vanessa Rubel. She was trying to get there, but she was lost. So we were both lost. And they were starting to blockade the streets because there's so many people. So we couldn't get to the stage.
Yeah.
So I didn't know Alma who she was or that she was there. This is a story I learned about afterwards, but yeah. I was like, screw it. I said, F it. And I was like, let's just sing here. And then this will be our last time. Thank you, ladies. Like, it's been amazing. And then
it was your last one?
Last flash mob. And then she came up and filmed it. I didn't know who she was. I remember like a flash of red curly hair saying thank you and leaving because that's how her hair looks like. And she's like a goddess, like, and she's become my fairy godmother. But she, you know, we started talking after the video went viral. And she's like, it's good in her Israeli accent. She's like, it's so good that you are on the streets because you are of the people. Like, I'm doing it totally bad, but you're of the people.
Yeah. Not on the stage. It's better. Yeah.
Oh, it was much more powerful to just be standing next to you guys. Yeah.
That was fun. Yeah. And then we had a bunch of buttons that we're giving away, but maybe we ran out by the time we saw you.
I didn't get
maybe
a button.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's fine. Mail me one.
Yeah.
So how did you meet those other women, find those other women that were singing with you?
I used to sing in a cappella in college, so it just seemed very natural to me. Shout out. Did you
know that? Oh, yeah. Just that Pitch Perfect 3.
Yeah.
With my acapella girls who came into town. Yeah. We sat in those fancy seats that recline and ate popcorn and just loved it.
Quick reveal.
It's ridiculous. They're the silliest movies, but we have a blast.
It's
sisterhood.
That's what we did for Pitch Perfect 2. Yep. We all reunited. Oh yep. That's a whole thing.
That's the best.
I was like, I'm not a sorority girl, and then I'd like unknowingly join a sorority
group.
The sorority group that harmonizes.
That's sing. And then that's like your souls are melding. We get all cheesy about it. We all sing at each other's weddings. It's really
that's what we do. Yeah. Okay, we have this bond now. But I don't know about you. No, I'm just kidding. No bond.
I was in choir.
That's pretty good. Something. No, I'm just kidding.
We didn't really bond. Like, I don't talk to them anymore.
I don't know what movie that.
I thought it was natural. I was like, okay, I'll just reach out to a cappella groups.
Yeah.
What happened was at first I was like, I'll recruit LA singers and then we'll go and then it'll just be this thing about LA going to DC, and I couldn't get many commitments. Like I got two girls, but they ended up, it just didn't happen. So I thought,
we have a march here too.
Yeah, and at that time we didn't know.
Yeah.
Didn't know that there was going to be LA march. And I think people didn't know what the Women's March was going to be.
Right.
Because I was recruiting starting like when the event started coming out.
Uh-huh.
When it was first posted on Facebook.
Yeah.
But so I thought, okay, I'll just reach out. I'll research what kind of a cappella groups are in DC. So I found some college groups and I found some just adult groups and reach out to them. And two of them replied.
Wow.
One of them replied and it went to my spam box. And I happened to be checking my spam box.
Right. Like, who does that? When do you do that?
Never.
When? I never do that.
Right.
I still feel like that's fake. And then I was like, oh, wait, they responded. So I ended up getting both of these groups in.
Nice.
And so you sent them the music, just like a file of you singing it.
So I wrote out the score for it. I did a 7-part harmony and then wrote that out. I sang each part separately, and then so each girl was like, okay, you get part one. She has that file, but she also has the full file. And then you can there's another file with all the other parts in, but super low.
Right. That's a lot of
work.
A lot of work.
Yeah.
And then faith that like this is all gonna come together.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, what compelled you to go to the march in the first place and to organize this?
Well, after the election, I think a lot of people felt many things, you know.
Yes.
And there's a whole spectrum and
that we're still sifting through.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I think I drank a full bottle of wine. I was going to be all polite. I was like, I think I drank half a bottle of wine.
It's a little tipsy.
I think I drank a little too much. I was on the couch, like, kind of curled up and just in disbelief. I didn't go, like, I fell asleep on the couch, woke up the next day. And then my friend Krista posted on Facebook. She's like, I'm going to the Women's March. I was like, what is this? And then I looked at that. I was like, what? Get together with a bunch of women on the streets and talk about how we're not happy about this? Yes. So I RSVP'd immediately. Uh-huh. And then I bought my ticket. And you know, at that point also, me personally, my career, my management had dropped me the week after Trump got elected.
Wow.
And so,
can I ask you why? Like, what
was
that?
Yeah, of course.
Why?
Yeah. So one of them didn't feel like the name was right. She wanted me to change the name and maybe the sound. And I don't think she truly felt like she, I don't know if she saw me completely yet. Mm-hmm. She was really talented, but it's just kind of fate, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, and so we kind of decided to part ways because I was like, you know, everything you're saying is kind of stressing me out. So I think we need some space. And the other one, I think she was just, I think it was just wasn't meant to be in okay. her career at that time. Mm-hmm. So I was devastated yeah. because like I was I've been a DIY artist for like 8 years up until that point. And I was like, wow, what am I doing? You know, I've been doing yeah. this for so many years and now my management's dropped me. And now this guy, Trump, is president. What's happening? And so I think it was a coping mechanism that Women's March was like the only thing that I felt made sense. And so I was like, I'm going to release this song. Because I remember feeling when I was watching the states turn red during mm-hmm. the reporting of the election, I thought, oh, this song, I feel like it's time to release this song.
You have recorded it in 2015, right?
Yeah, I recorded in 2015. Hadn't released it. And there was some talk about, you know, some of my friends were like, this is a song maybe like Pink could sing or
totally.
Or Katy Perry or something. And then someone was like, I know some people. And so I was thinking, but
meanwhile, you're like, I'm a singer. Like, right. Why are you saying that to me? Like, were you like,
well,
okay.
Well, at that point, after 6 to 7
like,
years,
you would have happily sold yeah. it.
You're like, give me that. Okay.
I was like, maybe it's not for me. Maybe mm-hmm. I'm meant to write and like I just want this song to be heard because I know it could. I knew that it could heal. I didn't know to what scale, but I was like, well, if someone else sings it, maybe more people will hear it. Like as a songwriter, that's my responsibility, you know. And so, I had no idea that any of this was gonna happen. So, yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Amazing,
yeah.
There's so many things I want to say right now, but I love that you just brought up how, like, yes, Pink or Katy Perry could sing it because I was thinking, and you're on, you know, 2017 best protest song list and, like, just best song of the year list, NPR and Billboard. And, you know, you're in with these other artists, Katy Perry and Pink, but there's something, and I don't want to take away from anything, but there's something so sincere about what you're doing that feels a little bit different, and I wouldn't mm-hmm. want any. I mean, you are an artist who, I don't know if you dubbed this, but cathartic pop, and you know, just like you are, your activism is inherent in your art, and mm-hmm. that is different. If you gave the song over to another artist, it would be great. It would be out into the world, but there's something it wouldn't be the same. And I saw someone ask you a question, and it probably sat a little weirdly with you, but I kind of want to phrase it in a different way, right. that you are now able to put your music out onto such this larger scale. Now you're signed with Atlantic and, you know, you're going to have this big platform. But in some way, does that, you know, feminist art and consciousness and all of this stuff, does the fact that you're contributing to these like commercial coffers like take away from that in any way?
That's a great question.
Yeah, and I think what's even more, it's not really fair to say, because of course it doesn't, because it's now out, and what's important to you and what's important is that this music and this message get out and this healing. But at the same time, is it obscured in some little way by people like management who might be critical or the gatekeepers who are now in charge of that? That there's some way that it's obscured a little bit.
There is always potential for that, and that's why the female intuition is so important. I remember when all the labels were reaching out to me, I started freaking out. And I remember walking into Atlantic's building and be like, this is too big. This is too big. I saw like posters of Ed Sheeran and Bruno Mars. I was like, oh, too big. I'm scared. And then I met Julie Greenwald, who is amazing, an amazing female CEO, mm-hmm. and just or COO. She's an amazing COO in general, who happens to be a woman. But mm-hmm. I started meeting, and then I met Craig there, who like is just a genius with music, and he had so much earnestness to him. I was really intrigued by his earnestness. Mm. so I was thinking to myself, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? I'm going to get swallowed up. How am I going to choose the right label? I met with many labels. And then I thought, back to original, the OG plan, which is the OG thing that helped me get to the Women's March, is follow that voice, that mm-hmm. female intuition. And it's worked so far. And I'm sure, you know, working with a team is funny. The songwriter was like, when you write with another songwriter about something so personal to you, don't you feel like it dilutes it? I was like, actually, no. I feel like my co-writers help amplify what I'm trying to say, because mm-hmm. it takes a village, then it goes back to community, mm-hmm. and it's finding the right community. And I remember thinking, this is a big decision, you know, a big part of making my decision was like, as an Asian American woman, I grew up having no example that looked like me in the music industry.
Yeah.
And I always remember, like, is there a place for us here? Is there not? And I remember year four, people were like, we don't know how to break a Chinese American artist here, but like, you could go back to China. I was like, I like these restaurants here. The culture there is so different. I remember visiting there and then getting super sick because I was like, this is not my home, you know? So anyways, so then I was like, here's an opportunity for me to face these really, like, potentially diluting, scary, kind of blood-sucking corporation, entities, and then go in and help expose people to a different type of story. Mm-hmm. And that has outweighed my fear of corporate dilution. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, 3 years ago, I would have been like, I'm not going to sign with a major. Like, I'm just like indie. I'm just going to do it, you know? And that also stems from a place of fear that I can't handle myself amongst other strong forces, but mm-hmm, I can, absolutely. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Has the meaning behind quiet changed for you over the course of all of these things happening?
Quiet.
Yeah. Like what it meant to you when you wrote it and then when you re-recorded it, you know, like, has it evolved for you?
The core message or the core entity of this song is that it helped heal me. Uh-huh. So that's always going to be there. But now the focus is also it's healing other people.
Yeah.
So this song is continuing to evolve. It does the interaction I have with it is changing because uh-huh. now it's holding me accountable. Mm. It's like when people are like, are you pro-choice? And I'm like, well, maybe I don't want to talk about it. And it's like, I can't keep quiet. I was like, oh, yes, I'm pro-choice. You know, there's a lot of things.
Yeah. And I had responsibility.
Yeah. And you know, so crazy. I was opening for Ani DiFranco, which within itself is like mind blowing. But I told her about how this song is making me do these things that I was like, I feel like I'm still learning from the song. I don't feel like I'm leading yet. Uh-huh. I feel like the song is leading me into situations. And she said something so casually at a bar that's like, I'll hold with me forever. She was like, I can't tell you how many songs I had to sing for years until I could become them. Mm. She's like, I wrote myself into existence. Oof. And she's like, you are writing yourself into existence.
That's
like,
awesome.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
She was on this show. She's a very quiet philosopher yeah. who just says really profound things. Yeah. Very off the cuff. Yeah.
Casually.
But, yeah, very casually. But yeah, that's beautiful.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I think like outside of being a songwriter, just anybody can write themselves into existence. Literally uh-huh. just writing an intention sheet or something. Like, it's powerful. Like,
yeah.
So these songs are my intentions. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's also turned into something, you know, the music is tangible, but the movement that you've created, the I Can't Keep Quiet, like, initiative or social, what would you call this?
It's turning into this fund. So I'm calling the I Can't Keep Quiet Fund, but I think it's also this social media movement. It's kind of a community. That's what I want to call it, is a community.
I like that.
And I think I didn't start it. I think it just started through me, if that makes sense. Like, it's been mm-hmm. waiting, mm-hmm. and I just happened to, like, hold the prism at the light the right time, and now there's a rainbow. And I'm like, oh, there's a rainbow. Let me try to, like, celebrate this rainbow.
Yeah, you know? But you had to harness it. Like, now you go, and there's actually a place where if you contribute to this fund, you can see where the money's going to go, and
yes.
it's all these things. And I think a lot of times with the hashtags that
there
I at least
an action
don't,
behind
yeah,
it.
I don't presume that there is.
Yeah.
Like with Time's Up, I had to learn that
right.
there is actually something behind that. And,
yeah.
you know, I don't know, Me Too doesn't have
no.
in itself. So I think it's really exciting to see that you this song, which then turned into this hashtag, which then turned into an actual action thing, which we can mm-hmm. see and tangibly, like, see the benefits of. I mean, how does that feel, like, that now you're leading that? Because this is you. Like, if you go to that website, it's basically you saying this is the movement that we're doing together, but I'm mothering it.
Yeah, it feels really it's surreal. And also I don't take it lightly. I don't like taking myself too seriously, even though like I tend to sometimes. I try to like trick myself out of it. And yeah, it's a whole other form of art. Activism is a whole art form that I'm learning. Like when I meet like I'm teaming up. So the I Can't Keep Quiet Fund basically is I'm teaming up with three organizations, the Joyful Heart Foundation, Step Up, and Tuesday Night Cafe. And each of them I picked these organizations because they're really good at activating community. They're like doing real on the ground work. Mm-hmm. And so being able to work with them has been this incredible journey. And I watch these people and they've dedicated their lives to a cause and they've gone from idea or passion, like, oh, this isn't right, to concrete action. Mm-hmm. And the journey from getting to passion to action is it's amazing. It's mm-hmm. I have so much respect for people that do that. It's like a song. Like I'll have a feeling and then I gotta write the song. Mm-hmm. That within itself has taken me years to figure out how to like really, I'm still learning how to hone it in, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's a whole other craft and I'm gonna make mistakes along the way. And I'm super transparent about that. I was like, yeah. I'm learning and let's just figure this out together.
Yeah. Seems like you have some good friends or role models for sort of the viral way of things, like your pussy hat friend and you're in this filmmaker who I don't know how much it was her doing to get this quiet to be viral, or if you just put something on YouTube, or if you have a certain amount of followers, but there's a certain element of like know-how to get things up to that level, and you've already accomplished those things. I feel
viral felt like such a far away, like cool, sexy word that I was like, that's so hot over there, and I wish I could be there. But
well, that happened with Devil, right? Your song is that the name of the song? Uh-huh. That just like blew up, right?
Oh, yeah, for like film and TV, like it did really well. I'm super grateful for that.
You're no stranger to viral.
I guess so. Yeah, I always just have my little brother's voice in my head, like, Connie, you need to make like more happy music so that like people will want to dance to it and stuff so it could go viral. I was like, I don't know how to do that. I'll try and then it'll just be super depressing. Yeah.
You know? No, that's not the only thing that goes viral these days. Yeah. We have a lot of rage that we need to tap into also.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't it amazing how the world just flipped? Right?
Yeah. It's like it was always there.
Yes.
But probably we didn't know it. Right? Yeah. We didn't know how to identify it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah. What's your primary like social justice cause these days? Would you say gender equality or?
I would say that is, I think, a big end goal. I would say that I'm trying to start, because the organizations that I've teamed up with, mm-hmm. you'll see that they're healing people. And I think that I've thought about this a lot and I've had a lot of conversations about what my role is mm-hmm. in this movement and what I want to own and what I feel like I'm good at. And mm-hmm. I know feelings really well. Mm-hmm. I know like I feel so much and I know persistence and I know like believing in a dream. And so that all that stuff leads to healing, I think. Mm-hmm. And what I think is that women are viral, and I learned this at a like this UN Women's Conference. I went and sang there, and this woman told me, women are viral. If you heal like one woman, she'll have a circle of women that she'll start healing. And each woman within that circle will have their own circle. It's true. I've been part of these circles. Yeah. I am one of the healers. I've been healed.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a lot of deep work that needs to be done to heal mothers and daughters. I think there's a lot of tension that the patriarchy unfortunately has inserted into relationships between women. I think there needs to be healing between mothers and themselves so that they can be better mothers and better like mothers to themselves, you know, and and then also for if we can empower women with good tools and education, then they can raise better sons that can understand that, like, that girl walking across the street could be your, like, resembles your future daughter or, like, your sister or your mother. And if we start from the groundwork there, maybe we'll have more community, and then maybe we'll have less people who feel ostracized, who feel compelled to do a shooting. That's been one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about is, like, gun violence and why it happens and like how this is a symptom of a very deep rooted thing. And I think as a healer and because I'm so emotional, it's like, okay, then I need to do that work. And I think so it's not a specific political action, but it's like, okay, if I'm completely vulnerable and open with my weaknesses, it'll empower other people to be like, oh, okay, well, that's like me, and I can do that too. And also maybe hopefully with the masculine side of our society, that more vulnerability and like more healing on that end, we'll see more leaders that will be talking about things like love and gentleness rather than power and domination and fear.
Right, I love the language that you use to address all of these things, gentle rebel and, you know, quiet as opposed to, you know, some battle cry. You know, it's because it is that inherently, but it's just keeps us at a nice level of civility.
It's interesting because people ask me, oh, did you intentionally make this song very quiet to like contrast? It's like, well, it's just who I am. And like the patriarchal definition of what strength is like brawn and sweat and like hard edges and metal and stuff. But there's another strength. And that's like big picture is the femininity of society that's been forgotten. There's so much strength within that. And I think that's maybe naturally, I didn't think that up, but I think maybe that's why this song is resonating is because there's an imbalance right now.
Totally. I really appreciate that you have really thought through the issues and have analysis on being a feminist in pop music, that you're not just kind of glomming onto it, you know, because my girlfriend and I actually had a debate about this last night because I told her this quote that I had read of yours that I thought was so interesting. I think someone asked you just about how to balance where you were coming from as an artist with now like signing to a major label and the success that you're having now. And you said something about feminism being pop now, which is very complicated.
Like being woke is trendy.
Yeah. And so we were like unpacking that and some of the inherent dangers in that, but then the advantages to that. And how do we seize upon the fact that many young women are now ready to call themselves feminist because maybe Beyonce did or something, you know, but to make sure that like we really understand what that is.
Yeah.
And to not treat it superficially.
Yeah.
And also because if you do, I don't know, like my girlfriend was very worried about the backlash of doing that also, you know. It's complicated.
Really complicated. And I even remember saying that in the interview, and the way they quoted it also was like, in a way I was like, oh, I feel like that could be misinterpreted in a way, but I was like, but that's what I have to learn about. I have to learn how to speak about these complicated things in a way that the messages relate in a healthy manner. But I think like it's kind of, the long-term picture is really important. And I remember hearing the word feminist when I was younger, and it was like such a word. It was like this.
We were taught that by the mainstream culture that it was for a while, especially in the 90s, you know?
Yeah. And then looking up the word is actually the belief that men and women should be equal. Right. Like, that's not that, like, what's so bad about that? So, I'm a feminist, but I am aware also that there's a lot of weight and dirt and stuff that's been kind of glommed onto that word.
Yeah.
And so we can change that, I think. And it is, you know, I do think that the male voice needs to be included. And this is why I think women are great leaders, is because I'm saying, yeah, we need to include the male voice. Like, that needs, it's not this like angry, like, you know, of course there's some people who are like, oh, there's been so much frustration, I'm just gonna let it out and be angry. But right. You know, Joyful Heart Foundation, the heads of them are like, we're trying to figure out how to include men into this conversation, because the Me Too movement could make men feel like really unsafe.
Yeah, it's happening. Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm sure someone's heard this and they're going to get upset with what I just said, because they're like, well, we've been unsafe, you know. But that's why we will be good leaders, is because, yeah, we've been unsafe. But even in our time of reclaiming safety, we're going to care for them, too. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. We struggle with that. We talk a lot about that.
What?
About the ways of making people uncomfortable and the sacrifices that are going to need to be made for change.
Right.
And what is the line for that? And, you know.
Maybe just, I have no idea. Maybe open conversations. I do. My guy friends will be like, so what do I do? I was like, the fact that you're asking, that's it.
That's right.
That's it.
Yeah.
And the fact that I need to ask you is that it too. I was like, hey, how are you feeling about like all of this? Do you feel like I'm attacking you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't think we've talked on the podcast about the Natalie Portman comment at the Golden Globes. And that's a perfect example. Did we?
You and I debated it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's an example of, is that crossing a line? The fight is worth that, you know, because it makes people uncomfortable, but that's what we have to do.
Yes.
You know,
right. So I kind of love that moment. Yeah, I'm going
to
be honest.
That was everything to me. Yeah. Sure.
But
we got to be comfortable with discomfort is like what I'm hearing all over the place right now.
That's great.
All
revolution is, I mean, all growth is painful.
Right? And I kind of view American, like if the world were a high school, you know, the American's been this popular jock, you know? And I feel like we're trying to take like some culture classes and like maybe go to a women's studies class and stuff. You know?
Yeah. I feel like America's like the Doogie Howser of the world who like just excelled at a very young age and became a little too successful
like
too early.
Awkward.
And now
that's,
it's like, no, you still got to learn some things about the
that's
world.
Great.
Doogie,
that's
great.
I like that analogy better than my jock analogy.
Just thought of that. I'm not sure if I'm going to stand by it, but it sounds right to me right now. Yeah.
Speaking of doctors, your parents are both doctors?
My dad is, and my mom's she's like a CFO. She's retired now, but
Because you talk a lot about healing in those terms, and I think I read somewhere, you know, I don't know, how do your parents feel about you now, because you're not just a musician. I hate that. That didn't sound right. That wasn't what I meant to say at all.
Just a lazy musician. Just oily haired.
Right.
Lazy
said that in quotes.
Yeah. You consider yourself and by all your actions are actually someone who cares in a way that you're going to continually put social justice at the front of your work. And I don't know if that's change their opinion of the arts that you've chosen to go into, and it sounds like you really do consider yourself a healer of some kind.
I think my dad has changed his opinion of me drastically. You know, he was really mad when I told him I was going to leave my UC Berkeley degree to go to LA and like putz around with musicians. You know, he's like, what are you doing with your life? And now he'll text me and he's like, oh, the Me Too movement, you know, and he'll like give me updates, you know.
I was going to ask if you get into this stuff with them.
Yeah.
I think, you know, one step at a time.
Right. Okay.
But I think
so there's acknowledgement right now. So that's
there's
big.
Acknowledgement. Huge. I mean, acknowledgement is like, that's a huge step for our family. Yeah. And I think my mom, she's been like, you know, my friends have asked me, am I comfortable with you sharing all these personal things? And she's like, well, it happened to you. So that's what happened to you. Mm-hmm. Like, talk about it, you know. That's so good. They're surprisingly modern now.
Great.
And I think some people just need to know that the world is, and like our parents just want to know that the world is going to accept me because they don't want me to be outcasted and alone and die, you know?
Right.
Like, I think that's
at the root of all of our parents' concerns, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
So I'd be happy and safe.
Yeah.
I
have family that is really right and or very on the right wing, you mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. some Trump supporters. And mm-hmm. my goal is to be able to sit, and we did this Christmas break. I was so proud of myself. I like sat down with one of my family members. And we kind of skirted politics and the whole room, like, because I think it got brought up, like, she brought something up about politics and the whole room kind of froze because they're like, oh, crap. It's like the super, like, you know, Trump supporting relative with, like, the I can't keep quiet girl that's starting to talk. But we, like, got through it. And, you know, we don't agree on things, but at least there was, like, success in me seeing a little more of her and she saw a little bit of more of me.
That's
established
great.
Some trust. Yeah. And then... got out of it, took a deep breath, you know.
Took a drink.
Yeah. But that's a goal. That's a goal. It's like Brené Brown. Have you guys read Brené Brown? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. So she just released a book, Braving the Wilderness. And she talks about how dehumanizing each other is like letting the system succeed. Mm-hmm. If we're like those mm-hmm. right-wing monsters, like that's dehumanizing, or those libtard snowflakes, that's dehumanization. Right. The more we dehumanize, then the more willing we are to like commit acts of violence against each other. So goal is to keep humanizing.
Yes. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So what are you doing at the march this weekend?
I'm so excited. So I'm performing on stage.
Uh-huh.
I'm very aware that it's like it's different this year. I'm going to be on stage. I'm going to have a piano. And then I'm just going to lead a sing-along.
Cool.
So I hope people will sing along.
Awesome.
And then the thing that I'm super pumped about is I'm teaming up with some of the organizations that are supporting the Women's March Alliance of New York. So it's Women's March Alliance of New York, the Federation. Those are two organizations that are helping me put this self-love sing-along workshop on. So I think around 3 p.m. At the Public Theater, we're going to have, I'm going to open the space up. And people can RSVP now. It's free. And so my friend and I, we're going to teach a two-part harmony. Just keep it simple. And mm-hmm. people can sing the song with us. Then we do a community building exercise. It's like super hippy-dippy. I love it. We basically like share our brags, gratitudes, and desires. And then like let strangers meet each other. And then we're going to close it off with a meditation.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So that's like... that's my jam. Like, I want to do that more and more. So this is the first one. I'm really excited. And we'll just see how it goes. Yeah.
From flash mobs to
seriously
self-love, like, retreat. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe one day it'll be, a week-long retreat.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the EP is called This Is Not the End, right? Yes. Which is, like, an understatement. Yeah. So that will be out when this podcast airs, when this episode airs. So check it out, guys. We heard it, and
amazing.
It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
So
thank
beautiful. You. What are you going to be doing next, like with that EP out?
I'm going to be going on tour, and I think we're announcing with who. I'm very excited. I think in a week or two mm-hmm. or something like that. So I'm pumped. I just want to be there, out there, and sharing the music and just seeing how it reacts. Because I'm like in a studio and I'm writing and it's all me, but like, what is it going to feel like singing in front of other people?
Oof,
yeah.
Right. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah. And writing a lot. And I'm feeling the writing bug, and I've been writing, and I want to release another EP soon because there's so much to feel and let out. So
totally.
Yeah.
Well, keep fighting the good fight, sister.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
It's been so much fun.
I can't keep quiet. No.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.